Yeah, Peter, can we talk a little bit more about feedback? I was thinking about how, as a early social worker who is just qualified and having to get into some of the good practices of providing and understanding the feedback. For me, I think the most important thing is that if they have that honest and have built that real open and truly trusting relationship, I think it will be very, very simple to understand how things are going between the social worker and the users. And I say that because I think, you should then say to them, each other, that this isn't working or that's not working, without having to really actually have any fear of any reprisals or any, because as a service user, you don't actually sometimes disclose everything when you don't have a complete trust in somebody. And that's not just social work. I think, to me, that's a, to some extent, it's a human nature. And until you have a full trust, you're not going to disclose all your needs if in this context. So I think the first thing to do is to ensure that between you have that true relationship. And if you do have that, then those complexity of needs, whether that is of whatever nature, really is understood between the two of you.
Sometimes that feedback is not going to come out in necessarily in very very well articulated. It might come out quite emotionally, and people can be upset. They're difficult situations, and I think that's when the social worker can try and unpick that and find out what's going on, what the difficulty is, why is a service user upset about that and or angry or. And that can be a kind of focal point for getting feedback, even though it may not sound like it. That will be good feedback to know how differently you might be approaching a situation, how you might be approaching a service user in a different way. So I think it's really it. Feedback can be come in all sorts of different ways, and sometimes I think we're a bit blinkered about it. Being social workers are likely to give you a form and say, what did you think of me as a social worker? Tick box here, kind of thing. And people sometimes are not used to doing those kind of things. So we've got to be encouraging social workers, I think, to be very creative about how they seek it and how and to be open to it and not be defensive. Because at the end of it, what social workers really are about is to get the best outcome for their clients.
No, I agree. And I think just going back to how do you unpick and really complex conversation, or your user is sort of beginning to tell you needs that are very complex. And I think the key skills there has to be really observe, talk, and listen, but not only that, and then write down. The writing skills is going to be so important. So in a sense, what I'm saying is not just nonverbal, but verbal communication along with written communication is going to be the absolute must. And I think if you become really good at that, particularly the written conversation, because these notes are not just going to be for you, for users, those notes are going to be read by other people and they have to be meaningful for them. And has to reflect and has to be understood and agreed by the user. Because if you write it in the language that's not either accessible or usable or readable by the person, it's meaningless.
it's another way of, it's another kind of feedback mechanism in a way for me. It's about, if you know, if I have a, if somebody has, if a social worker has a conversation with me and I start to say some things, it's really helpful for me, for the social worker then to say something like, so Peter, do I understand you to say that, or something like that, which then enables me to either say, well, actually, no, I didn't quite mean that, or, yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think that can be either in verbal communication or written. And, yes, if somebody produces, you know, an official kind of report and I don't understand it, then there's something wrong, I think, and that it needs to be, as you say, in plain English and accurate. Because, after all, if it's not accurate, that's going to affect the type of service that's provided.
Yeah, absolutely. And just you're thinking a little bit more on feedback. I think it's, you know, having these kind of exchanges, you know, because an agreement, you know, these. You'll have that complex conversation or conversations, and then you'll have these written down. Quite often, if you don't agree, you know, it is so clear to me that people walk away from these kinds of conversation with different messages. And if it's not written down and actually exchanged between the two people involved, you know, you could have completely different understanding. So I think it is so important as feedback mechanism to just make sure not only that, as you rightly said, did I understand this? Can I clarify? Have I captured it? Yes. All of those kinds of things, but play it back to and make sure that the user really understands what you are saying is accurate and reflects what they are saying. So I agree. And that's part of the feedback loop, is to really give the user that. And I think you can then ask the users, are we on the track to achieving, you know, can you get, how is this relationship, you know, am I doing, is my performance to your expectations kind of conversation, as opposed to what I've seen is, you know, quite often the, so, you know, social worker will say, or some, or their supervisors might send you a kind of what I call a survey, not a feedback, but it is a feedback. And so, will you mark this person? Where do you mark him? 1 to 10? Is it good performance? Not so good? That to me is not as meaningful. I think that's more a survey. For me, a meaningful feedback is really having conversation or a written feedback which says, I really benefited because X, Y, Z.
I think there possibly are barriers that need to be overcome when social workers are looking for feedback. I think there are barriers that can be met. One, I think, is probably that you don't want, maybe social service users don't want to upset the social worker because, you know, there's an issue about they are the kind of gatekeepers to services. So therefore, you don't want to mess it up in any way. I think that's definitely an issue that needs to be overcome. There's obviously, I've said before, I think defensiveness on the social worker's part sometimes, and sometimes. Maybe it's quite aspiration. It's quite a high expectation that sometimes people are not used to giving detailed feedback to people. They feel people feel uncomfortable in, you know, they don't want to appear to be, you know, don't want to be unpopular, and those kind of things can all impact people's ability or desire to give somebody else some meaningful feedback. And again, the feedback needs to be meaningful. And I mean, I've seen feedback like, you know, how was the service? And someone's put okay, or yeah, it was all right, you know, and you think, well, you know, it's not really helpful at all. And when those kind of things are said, I think it's a skill of the social worker then to be able to try and bring that out, to draw out, well, you know, you said okay, but you know, can you tell me a bit more? What did you like about it? What did you, were your goals met? Were you, you know, did you get the outcomes you hoped for? What was my approach like? You know, lots of different questions I think that can be offered in difficult, you know, in what are difficult circumstances very often.
It's amazing, really, when you really reflect back and, you know, when I look back and see some of the kind of ways these feedback and in fact, actually goes really back to the conversation. You know, how do you actually get those issues that are really difficult to understand or even disclose? And, you know, as you just mentioned, there are some barriers. And how do you overcome those barriers? And I think actually goes right back up top initially, what kind of rapport do you have with this person?
Yeah.
And if you had not started on the good foot, and for me, building that rapport with your user is just such a basic but the more vitally important step in really building that relationship, trust and honest, all of the things we talked about.
Very often that initial meeting people is the crucial thing, because people are quite cute and will very often make, not always right, but they'll make judgments and assumptions about a social worker very, very, very quickly.
Interestingly enough, you know, Peter just reminded me of something I came across in my different kind of understanding of users and preparing to building a rapport. And it's this thing called 5 P's. You know, I remember this, which is, you know, preparing prevents poor performance. You know, and it reminds me of that because I think building rapport is about back to understanding your users. And if you understand, you can have those conversations in a meaningful way. Because if you go and talk to somebody with impairments, you have no idea. You're never even going to, you know, as somebody with either, say, sensory impairment of hearing loss or sight loss. And your sight loss, is no way you're going to have an eye contact with that person. So how are you going to build that rapport? So, you know, in situations like that, you need to have some awareness of, you know, for this person, I need to have a, you know, way of communicating with touch. You know, touch, there's no harm in, you know, tapping their shoulder and say, this is what I'm talking about. So, I mean, that really comes back again, you know, it's the whole, you know, the whole thing about building rapport leads on to, you know, some of those barriers of difficulties of getting the user to open up to disclosing really difficult needs. And I think it also then brings us back to, you know, how you make those assessments and decisions as to what those needs are, how you balance those against all those competing demands. And, you know, above all, I think it brings us back to really why it is important to have those key communication skills for me. Yeah. I think it's that written skills and having that feedback loop so important. And what that then says to me is, how do you know between you that you have achieved your goals? And for me, I think the only way you do that is to jointly appraise and say, did we get what we started to do? But you don't do that at the end. You do that as you progress.
Yes.
Because if you leave it till the end, it's too late.
Yeah, I agree, and I mean, I think it feels to me quite straightforward to say, well, you know, this is the situation that we were, you know, we were discussing when we first met. These were some of your needs, and are we meeting some of those now? Are we moving forward with those? And what else can we do? So we can appraise and feedback during the process, rather than, as you say, leaving it till the end when it's too late. So you can say, well, how are we doing? You know, how are we doing? You know, this is where we want to go. Are we going in the right direction? Do we need to change direction? Are there things we could do differently?